call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
So this week, a politician, Julia Banks, has said she's stepping down from the Liberal Party over the treatment of female politicians in Australia. Radio Adelaide's correspondent Sam Smith is filling us in on the subject.
Yeah, so Julia Banks, she's a former lawyer and company director. Just to give a bit of background about how much of a skill set she has outside of politics, she has been a part of the Liberal Party, but I believe a few months ago, we even spoke about how she thought there wasn't enough female representation within the Liberal Party and in Parliament in general. And now it's gotten to the point where she sees the treatment of women in Parliament years behind the business world. She said that equal representation of men and women in Parliament is urgent and that it will create a culture change. But there's been blinkered rejection of quotas and support of the merit myth. And now that she's saying that this is more than a numbers game, the straw's broken her back here. And she said, well, if you're not going to change the way your party is run, you're not going to have quotas, I'm just going to leave. And so she did say that she will support the parliament until the end of the year. And then in the next year, she'll decide what she'll do as an independent.
So is she gaining support for this decision?
Yes, definitely. Mostly from women. Some key people here is Julie Bishop. So she similarly crossed the floor to become an independent. She was a former foreign minister. She's described Julia Banks as strong, sensible and centrist. And going further from that, she said that the parliament needs to learn from this and step away from political parties embracing populist policy. So it's quite a broad thing here, but she's tying that in. She said that no political party could meet its potential unless it sought to achieve equal number of women in its ranks. And this, I think, should hopefully be a wake-up call, because according to Bishop, she said only 7% reported a high level of trust in our national government and that it was doing the right thing, although 47% had some level of trust. So on the whole, those aren't really good numbers. So hopefully the parliament looks at this and goes, okay, we really need to give women a platform here and make a pathway for women to help change the future.
Mm. So this kind of conversation, like we've spoken about this before in terms of quotas in parliament, it's something we talk about here in New Zealand. What are the kind of pushbacks you hear to that idea?
Yeah, so it may be similar in New Zealand, but there's that merit myth where people say, oh, quotas mean that we won't get the same level of merit in the job force, which just isn't true. And when you currently look at the House of Representatives, there's 150 people there, and only 28% of them are women. That's 43 women in the House of Representatives, and they got there based on this merit that they so-called say. So why not open the door wider, be non-biased and go, okay, 50% women, 50% men, and then maybe that could even filter out the people who really won't be best suited for the job.
I'm going to shift on to the Victorian election. The election of Victoria, we've seen a Labour government elected in with Daniel Andrews being the leader of that party. What were the election promises that he has given?
Well, yeah, he promised a lot. So maybe I'll go topic by topic. First one being he's really focusing on hospital development. So he's going to be injecting $1.5 billion into a project which will see a new hospital, and that will allow for 15,000 more people to be treated there. He's also splashing out on upgrading already established hospitals, and that will cost a couple of hundred millions of dollars. And moving on to construction, if Melbourne is anything like Adelaide, if it's really the big sister of Adelaide, it will be known as the city of construction. And it seems that roadworks are just going to get worse over there. They are actually spending $200 million on an 18-month plan to widen a freeway and connect it to the ring route. So that, I guess, should help with traffic and congestion, which Morrison, we know, has been talking about a lot lately. And another key point is that they're focusing on children, which I think is really nice, and maybe that's a tactic, I don't know. But they're providing free kindergarten care for 3-year-olds up to 15 hours a week. They'll also be opening up 100 new schools and also putting $1 billion into improving established kindergartens. There'll be free dental care at public schools, as well as free tampons and pads for girls at those schools. And yeah, there's heaps going into welfare of children. And they're also looking into the environment, which is not really what the federal government is really looking into. But Victorian state government, they're rewarding renewable energy resource consumers by providing new rebates and discounts for solar panel, hot water systems and battery storage. They're also making a promise to put the fracking ban into the constitution, so that would see future governments make it harder for them to kind of unpick it and remove it.
Wow, that is a lot.
I waffled there a little bit, but
no. Absolutely, that was a lot to get through. How is that being paid for?
Exactly, that's I don't quite understand, because it's predicted that the federal government will be in surplus going into the next budget. So this money must be coming from somewhere. They haven't really said where, but I can only imagine they're taking money from other sectors, which we've seen in Adelaide, for example, when it comes to domestic violence centres, money was taken out of there. There's so many areas where this money has to come from, like you say. And going forward, I guess we'll see where that money comes from.
I might shift into the fires in Queensland then. So this has been a major story that's been happening over this last week. What are the recent developments with this story?
So Wednesday night, 8,000 people fled from Gracemere following the evacuation from emergency services on Wednesday night. And this morning they were advised they could return home. They're also cautioned to be safe still, to have a plan, because there have been 38 fires across Queensland, which are getting scarily close to houses and schools. 30 schools had to close down as well. But overnight, firefighters have been working hard in getting these fires under control. And the last time I checked, there's only 105 fires raging across Queensland. That still seems like a lot, but they're working hard. And many parts of Queensland are still being evacuated. But thankfully, so far, only 4 houses have been destroyed, and that's terrible for those individuals, but it's clear the firefighters are doing their best to contain it, every fire, every angle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's pretty incredible given how big it is. So the damage so far, that's just houses. What about these communities? How catastrophic is that damage?
In Queensland, there's a lot of regional areas, so there's a lot of land. Mm-hmm. So there are people who live in small roads, so for fire services to even get through to the road, they can only take one truck at a time. So it's a really slow process from that regard. And so far we've seen in those areas where it's hard to get to, 20,000 hectares of land have just been destroyed, and cattle are in danger. This is people's livelihood that is in danger. Thankfully, they have the support and the evacuation, but what are they going to come back to? That's probably what's on their mind the most, and hopefully the Queensland government can rally them and help them going into the future once all these fires are contained and they can fully assess the damage.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.